Hey guys, popping in with a reminder to sign up for the GovHub newsletter. This weekly pop of politics is designed to share action items, resources, and quick links to civic engagement tools and topics directly to your inbox. Save it, share it, and sign up for a pinch of productive politics today by going to girlonthegov.com or visiting this episode's description.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Girl on the Gov, the podcast,
where our goal is to make politics more accessible and less intimidating.
The show features an interview with an expert in the political field, walking us through the many cues we have about politics, civics, government, and more.
By providing civic education in the places we are, on our phones, and in the language we speak. And yes, we know we say like a lot.
It's kind of the point, because politics needed a rebrand. Welcome back to Girl on the Gov, the podcast. You guys, we have a solo episode for you all today. Woo! It's been too long. And, you know, we talked last week about all of the things, all of the travel and the crazy events both Sam and I had last week and through this last weekend. So we're going to do a big debrief in the intro, but we're like, you know what? This might need a full episode because, Lord, but we have a little solo mini episode for you guys. We'll see how many it remains, given our tangents and Samantha's long-winded storytelling, but...
You know what? It's just... The world is more spicy and entertaining because of it, okay? You know,
You make something out of a lot of nothings in a really entertaining way.
Thank you.
Well, what we're also going to do today and what you need to hang around for is we're going to dive into our new format and our rebrand of this podcast that is upcoming this spring. It's going to be definitely a turn from our normal formatting that we've literally been doing for over 2.5 years, almost 3 years now. So new things are coming. And I hope everyone will like it. I think everyone will, given this weird election and political year we're in. Like, we're hoping to bring some color commentary to it. So
it's going to be so fun, you guys, which, again, you have to stick around until the end of this episode to hear about that format. It's just like a little, we're just dangling the carrot or whatever vegetable you feel, vegetable, fruit, I don't know, sweet, whatever it is that you just feel is right. That'll just get you to the end. It's going to motivate you. Totally. Because personally, like, I'm not a carrots fan. Don't like carrots.
Yeah.
Carrots? No. See ya.
I like both of those things. But hey, to each their own, as they say.
There it is.
There it is, folks. Mm-hmm. Well, where should we start? Because basically, these are the two Samantha, DC, White House, State of the Union recap. Madison, South by Southwest. Politics House, celebrities, influencers.
Did you just call yourself Madison?
I did. I said Samantha. I thought I would go with my full name, given that I call you by yours. I was just trying to strive for equity on this show.
Which, look, nobody go trying to call me Samantha. That is an earned right. Thank you very much.
I earned it.
With many tokens. Okay. So just FYI all the whatevers. Just bring that out there. I'm just saying. Between that and someone not replying all to an email, like, you will piss me off. Anyways.
That is always a peeve.
And then Maddie gets a text about it, so don't do it.
Well, Samantha, you had your trips kicked off first. So maybe we'll just start there. We'll go in chronological order. So start with your travel day. I heard there was a story that perhaps was embarrassing for you. I don't know. Why don't you tell our fans?
That was on the way there. Let's just do a side by side. On the way there, and I was like, this was a flight for me. And first of all, behind me were two guys that had just been released from prison. Full gray outfits.
How did you know that?
Because I'm an eavesdropper.
Of course. Okay.
Obviously. And I was like listening and they literally, because they only had their t-shirt, sweatpants and their pack of documents. And they were like, yeah, we just got released. This is all we have. And they're like, it was a whole.
That's exciting.
I was honestly, this is the thing. This is no judgment to them. I have no idea what the beef was, right? You know, like what happened in their life that ended up there. No judgment. I just want to know though, because I want the tea. Like I was like waiting, like I was like ear this way towards security. I'm like, tell me what happened. That is what I really needed to know. I got no answers, but that was part one. Then I'm sitting at my gate. A mouse is doing the zoomies all over the place. A dog enters the chat, somehow stays calm. So that was like kind of like saga one, which just was like interesting more than anything. On the way back though, this was like, okay. And this was like my like learning tidbit. Obviously what we do is politics and therefore DC is the hub of that. So there's lots of, you know, players that you may or may actually run into in that airport in DCA.
I've ran into a few myself.
Yeah. And the thing is, and it's not just, okay, members of Congress or elected officials. It's like people you might know. You cannot, I thought to myself, you know what? I like to look like kind of shit at the airport. I want no makeup on my face. I want to just, not even same. That I want that, but it's, you know, I don't need to fuck up my skin.
No, because... same. And literally last night I flew home and I was like doing South by things all day. And I went straight to the airport and I was wearing a dress and I was like wearing a dress in the airport and on an airplane. It was the craziest thing ever. And I had full face makeup and I was like, this just is not me. This is not who I am.
I don't think I've ever seen you wear a dress too.
I mean...
somehow okay. That blows my mind.
Everyone's going to think I'm like some fucking masculine butch girl. No, well, I mean, we're just always seeing each other in like professional environments.
I just feel like you're a jeans girlie. I feel like it'd be 90 degrees and you'd be wearing like jeans and a crop top. Like,
oh, no, I'm not that girl. I'm not the girl who wears jeans even in hot weather. If there's hot weather, I am wearing a skirt or a dress. That's my vibe for sure. I just don't know that we've really been in hot weather together.
That's a good point.
I actually really don't think we have been. It's like always been the winter time.
Which we really have got to change because we need to be tan in our next picks and like naturally tan. So this is a goal of ours. Not that we want to be at DC in the summer because...
No, I have been in DC in the summer and it's called the swamp. For a reason,
for sure. Circling it all the way back. Wearing a dress at the airport, that is wild to me, just in general. Crazy. Like not, like, I, like, we're the same on this. Like, I want sweatpants or leggings or, like, whatever, like, comfy clothes. It's a comfy clothes environment to me. Don't want to be restricted, all that. But I realized very quickly that you cannot look like shit if you work in politics and you're flying out of DCA. No fucking way. It's person that you might know, person that you do know, every... five steps, craziness. But the embarrassing story isn't that. That's just my warning to anyone that is traveling there and is getting into this space.
Well, you're going to see people you know who are public faces. Like you probably will see at least one, honestly. But if you don't work in the political space, you're probably fine.
Oh, then by all means, doesn't matter.
And it's like people like you know of, but they don't know you.
Right. This is more of, I don't want like someone... see me looking super dingy and unprofessional that like I actually work with in some capacity or might work with, that type of scenario. Like I want to just get to be my grown self. I love that
and
confidence.
And honestly,
for you.
The political space is pretty casual outside of like the Hill. If you don't like work with electeds, like the organizing and movement space is really casual.
You have a point, but it's casual is like not really a vocab word for me. You know?
I know. I know.
So it was tough. It was a tough break. But what was really the tough break is I was in the security line and I don't have, what is it? Clear blue, clear check. What is that shit? The
clear TSA pre-check.
Yeah. And I spot, which Congresswoman Lisa Blunt Rochester from Delaware is running for Senate, like direct eye contact. Literally, she was with another congresswoman too that I recognized her and I could not think of her name. And as I get up to the line with all my documents and I'm like, you know, manhandling everything. You know how there's, you put your little passport in and then you have to move over and it takes the picture.
Mm-hmm.
I had my luggage a little too close to me and had a bag on top of it with my stuffed penguin, all the things, most important things. And I'm trying to...
not the stuffed penguin, guys.
I'm trying to shuffle it over and the whole thing, everything just flies. And then the worst part is me in the picture. Literally the picture of me in the security screen is...
Like, I've never seen the picture taken of me. You got to see it?
It literally, maybe it was just me being able to see myself as it was taken, but it was like... HD grab it. You guys have to watch this on YouTube to see what face I was making. Literally, it was... I couldn't save it. Everything's tumbling. This dad is like behind me in line and he starts laughing hysterically, making fun of me, like in a cute dad way. And then, so we were dad joking back and forth. But there was members of Congress like right there. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Hey, it's just me making a fucking scene. And the security guard was just like, get your shit together. It's like, I can't help it. And then I saw or spotted Wiley Nickel at the Raleigh gate.
Shout out Wiley Nickel.
And I saw Congresswoman Blair Rochester again shopping at MAC. So that's all your... We were recently called the Dumoff.
You really should have gone up to her and told her about our new format.
But I looked disgusting. So it really was not my moment. Even though you're running into...
That was a teaser, everyone. That was a teaser.
Yeah, but I should have. You're right. How was your flight? Minus the dress scenario.
My flight was good. I mean, my flight there was like at 7 a.m. So do with that what you will. Actually, the TSA agents and my security were like notably so kind and sweet. There was this one guy like taking people's IDs and just giving each person a compliment, like just so bubbly. I'm like, sir, it is literally 5:45 in the morning and you are giving this energy. Like, God bless you. But yeah,
some
it was
people
good.
Just bring it like that. You know who else I want to give a shout out to with that type of energy? The Secret Service guy that chased me.
Let's get into it. Let's move on to your White House experience. I think it's time to dive right in. Start from the top and then we'll get to my Secret Service man.
Okay, well, this... Maddie and I are going to duke it out.
I claim all of them. Actually, they're all mine.
Oh, well, there's a nice old man with some white hair that I also shot with. So it can happen.
Yeah, he's also mine. He's my friend.
There you go. You're Zaddy. It's fine. Okay, starting from the top, first of all, it was wild. It was shitty to not be there with Miss Madison Blue, obviously. Like we said last week, scheduling sometimes just doesn't work out. But I did introduce myself as the blonde half of Girl on the Gov. And that stuck. That actually, at a few other events I went to, where I reinteracted with some of the same people, they remember that. So they know it's us too. It's all the things. So we love to see it. But I literally was having like a panic attack on the way there for absolutely no reason, forgetting that I was the guest, not actually being the host for once. So that was funny. Went through security, had a whole little mishigas, whatever. But the room that we were in, super cool, super gorge, all the things. Dougie came and said hi. He's adorable.
Doug. Doug really had an outstanding moment at the State of the Union.
So cute.
And everyone knows what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. The cute little Ken and Barbie moment that him and Kamala shared before the State of the Union started. And just what a man.
What a man. Wow.
What a mighty good man. Anywho,
yeah.
Tell us more.
What was Doug saying? Doug was just like talking, helping us sort of prepare. So basically what we were doing there was preparing for State of the Union. So we're getting an idea of what was going to be covered, answering questions on what we could expect and, you know, what, you know, some of those important messaging pieces were for us as creators, but also in providing feedback to them of what we're seeing online, what we need to see from the administration and providing like that feedback. And I was really happy to see I was not the only one to say this because I had made a video previously about how there's a really big disconnect between the economy being good and the messaging around that and the way that like we all feel about it or experiencing it with like insane rent and inflation not coming down, actually the actual stores, like all of those different things. And so they're happy to report, very aware of it. And so it's just one of these things we're trying to figure out, okay, what is that messaging? How do we make that better? And so there's just a lot of conversation around that, which was really cool. And just, I think what the biggest takeaway to me was the fact that we were there and they were listening to us. Like, they really genuinely care what we have to say and take it into account and are like, they are so much more aware than you might even think.
And that's really great to hear. And I heard that too. I was with Glennis, who is Brian Derrick's like new co-host. She's also the founder of Generator Collective with Lana Glazer. And she was there with Sam, and I was with her this weekend at South by After. And she was telling me that and how they were really receptive. There was like a good feedback loop. And that's really good to hear. And then, you know, you see it kind of come out in the State of the Union. I'm curious, do you think that they were the things that were the feedback? Did you hear it then come through in the State of the Union? I liked the snackflation piece of the economy, you know, portion of the State of the Union. But
well, the snackflation was something that we did joke about with some of the officials. So, you know, I think that was a little bit like pre-integrated, though. But we gave them sort of the double down on that. I'm trying to think if there was anything. One of the big things that was discussed and asked from the creator piece was, is he going to say the word abortion or not? Mm-hmm. Which was interesting because there are a lot of conversations I had last week in DC with various people across the space wondering that. And also even the watch party was at. That was a conversation continuously had. Is he going to say that word? The positives and negatives of that. I think the opinions varied in the room as to what people actually thought of saying it or not. But regardless, that was something that was asked. He obviously didn't say it. I have various opinions on that. I don't know. I overall do feel like they were really like listening, though. I don't know if necessarily everything directly impacted into a speech that was happening less than 24 hours later. But I do feel like what we were saying was taken especially into account of thinking about like what the long game is, what's happening next week, the week after, all of those things. And
that's what I was going to say. It probably, like, hearing your guys' feedback, it probably won't go directly into the speech necessarily, but they'll probably see reactions from people post State of the Union. And if they aligned with what you guys are saying, then they're like, okay, fuck, we need to make sure we integrate that in messaging moving forward.
Totally. But yeah, it was, again, it just open dialogue. I'm trying to think of what other takeaways besides that. I just think it was one of those weird out of body moments where you're like, wow, I'm like sitting around the table with some really awesome creators that also think of democracy as literally the forefront of everything. And then with like administration officials. And of course, Dougie Boy, just pretty cool that they like actually are paying attention.
Who were some of the creators that you really bonded with and connected with, or just were excited to see there?
Oh my God. Well, I'm obsessed with Sylvia Salazar. She's behind Tono Latino. So especially for any of our Spanish speaking listeners, absolutely go give her a follow. She is just, you know, when like someone is literally like a hug of a human, like they are just like so warm and so bubbly and everything. I'm obsessed with her. So I spent a lot of time with her and she's just so cute. And then the Courier team is just like an absolute delight. So shout out to them and all of the humans. And oh, and also like the Zactivist, I'm obsessed with him. He's so cute and just love his videos. It was one of those ones where sometimes too, it was like fun to see, oh, we already follow each other. Like, or, oh my God, I follow you and let's follow back. And just like seeing sort of that dynamic play out. And there's just some really awesome people in this space and cool to see like those internet friends in real life.
The internet friends.
It's so crazy.
Wait, who from Courier did you meet?
Lucy. And then Kyle.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I was with Kyle this weekend too. That was the first time I met him and he was great.
That's awesome. So funny. So basically they came to me first and then they came to you. It sounds your way.
Sloppy seconds. Well, that's really exciting. We will be back. The both of us will be back to the White House. And the Secret Service moment happened post-meeting, correct?
Yeah, this was, guys, this was going to live rent-free in my head forever, but I'm kind of fine with it because I think it's so fucking funny. So here's the thing. The meeting was supposed to, the day of events at the White House was supposed to end at 4:30. And this is no shade to them. Scheduling just gets nuts, as we have complained constantly about ourselves too. And I had a meeting at DGA at 5. Okay. First of all, as much as I've been to DC, I'm no DC savant in terms of knowing how to get places. I'm really just always winging it, which, whatever. Anyways, long story short, our day at the White House was running late, and I didn't even realize, because we were just having so much fun. It was just great. I wasn't even looking at my phone in terms of time. And then I realized I'm sitting in this Q&A that we're having, and it's 4:55, and I need to be at this office literally at 5. So I gotta book it. Okay. I am running through this building in heels. Literally, it's like the slippery floor. I might as well be like, what is it when you know, in that movie with Tom Cruise where he has the boxer shorts on and he does that slide on the wood floor?
I think that's Top Gun, isn't it?
I couldn't tell you.
No, I think that's so wrong. Hold on.
That can't be right.
I can't embarrass myself like this.
Like, it feels really wrong. And no, I've
that
never
feels
seen.
So incorrect. What? It's risky business. Duh. Okay.
Obviously, of course it's risky business. I mean, this was risky business. I was running in heels on slippery floor, and I was sliding, slipping, but I was confident. I was moving with alacrity. Okay. I accidentally went into a restricted area. I mean, this place was a maze. Okay. It was a maze. I finally get out there. It's pouring. I'm on the phone with DJ. I'm like, I'm coming, blah, 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 whatever. Anyways, I get myself out the gate, whatever. I am running. I'm full New York. New Yorker running, sprinting in the rain, hobble, hobble, hobble in my little heels, papers everywhere. I looked probably ridiculous, okay? And all of a sudden, I get pretty far, okay? I want to say I was halfway to this office I was going to. I hear, ma'am, ma'am. And I'm like, and I didn't have headphones in because I was so late. I was like running, you know, I didn't even get to the headphones of it all. And I turn around and it's this gorgeous, hot, amazing Secret Service guy. And he was like, you forgot to give your badge back.
That's my boyfriend.
He's my boyfriend. He was chasing me. So you might want to.
Yeah, because you forgot something. He's a good guy.
I thought it was because my ass looked good in heels. But okay. I literally was like thinking in my head, you can chase me anytime. Yeah. Literally, my biggest regret is not being like, you can take the badge back and you can take my number. And that was the cap off of the White House experience, was getting chased in the rain, looking like an absolute moron. I probably look like a freaking cockatoo. That's what I felt like. Literally, that was me. And this man chasing after me. Hopefully, they let me back. I was like a little nervous. Like, oh, shit. Did I really fuck up? So
yeah.
For our friends at the White House, I'm so sorry. I love you guys. Thanks.
Well, it was a success overall.
It was.
Despite the rain and the running, but I love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Oh, and most importantly, I got dinner after this with our previous intern, Miss Janae Jules, aww, and Gov Clubber Becca Martin, who are just like the cutest humans. And it was so fun. And just ate a lot of pasta, and it was just
the best. Sounds lovely. That might be what I'm most jealous and FOMOing about.
No, we missed you. We were like, where's Maddie? But everything felt like, honestly, it was like a week where everything felt like a simulation, like a positive simulation, but a simulation. So I just think everything was a little out.
That's how I felt too. Like, just with my trip, just no sense of time, no sense of self. No sense of health, no sense of sleep.
Sense of wealth.
No sense of wealth. Yeah, like literal Matrix vibes.
For sure.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Which, before we get into, let's do a little SOTU recap, because you went to a watch party. So tell us a little bit about that.
So fun. So our friends at Social Current, if you guys aren't subscribed to our newsletter with them, keeping it current, get on it. It's for creators, talent managers, anyone in sort of the political creator space and that intersection right there. Anyways, they are so fucking fabulous and love them. And they hosted a State of the Union watch party. So if you're just like a political creator nerd, this is where you are. Like, it was like funny looking around as, oh, wow, we are like, this is our Super Bowl. And this is hilarious in its own way, but it was so fun. I hung out with their team and so many other, you know, creators, and got to sort of do the whole viewing party, if you will, and all of those things. In terms of takeaways, obviously, I would say the biggest takeaway in the room was Biden saying the word illegals, like using that term. Oh, yeah. Everyone was like, which is fair. And I agree. But what is so wild about it, I must have zoned out. I missed the entire thing. I literally, not the entire speech, the section where he said that and was talking about immigration, I must have been like looking at my phone, doing something or posting something, because then people started reacting and I was like,
yeah, it was bad.
Wait, what happened? Which it agreed.
Well, but, yeah. It's interesting because right now the Democratic Party, Biden included, are so off the mark with their immigration stances and policies. Like, they're trying to meet the GOP where they are, which the GOP is not in a good place when it comes to immigration. They never really have been. And the Democrats are trying to appease them. And it was like terrible immigration policy he started with, followed by this like off the cuff Marjorie Taylor Greene acknowledgement, which is like either the worst thing you can do, or if you play it right, the most iconic thing you can do. Which when he started to pull that pin out and I was like, oh God, like this, what is going to happen? I was kind of like hopeful because I do like the way he goes off the cuff sometimes. Like, he's really witty, and he's, despite his age, like quick and just like a funny guy. Like, he kind of has that charisma. And so I was like, he might slay this right now. And he didn't. He absolutely blew it and dropped the ball and did one of the worst things he could say in that moment around immigration, which really just fed right into the palm of Marjorie Taylor Greene, which makes it even worse that was like given what she probably wanted at the end of the day, which is him to fumble the bag.
Totally. 1,000%. However, I will say, at least he apologized for it and owned it, took accountability. Can't say that about Trump. You know, so just putting in context of, you know, this upcoming election,
also accountability piece. We have two very different futures with our choices here. So
for sure.
There's not to be forgotten. But
however, the interaction at the beginning when Biden saw Marjorie Taylor Greene in her Hatch Act violating outfit.
That's why I also kind of felt hopeful when he pulled that thing out. I was like, he's got to have something up his sleeve, because it's, you know, it's maybe been brewing since that moment he saw her dressed like a fucking fool.
I mean, her in the Chippendale.
Literally. Oh my God.
Insane. But I think minus that section, I think was good. Where I did feel like, well, I don't agree with like necessarily the policy, and calling the Republicans out for literally constantly having fits about the border and, you know, national security related topics, and then literally refusing to act on it when a member of their party has negotiated a bill that's like literally their bread and butter of what, like, they
for
want.
Them.
Yeah. Yes. And the pan to Senator Lankford was like, I was like, good on whoever's moving the camera is smart. Mm-hmm. So I did think the call out of that was needed, and especially
he did some good call outs.
Yeah,
like the IRA stuff was so good. It was like, oh, you don't want that money in your district, let me know, because you are currently begging for it. So yeah, keep booing. That was amazing.
And it was pretty wild though. Like, it was, let me rephrase this, it was not surprising but classically disappointing that Republicans didn't stand for literally anything. Like, we don't want lead in our pipes anymore. They couldn't stand for that. You know what I mean? There are fundamentals on everything. It just kind of, I mean, how many shows a day do you need to see like how fucked up and how off the mark they are?
I think there was one moment where they were like, he was talking about taxing the rich, or like billionaires paying less in taxes than nurses and teachers. And then like Mike Johnson did a little clap, and I can tell like right when he did it, he was like, oh, I probably shouldn't, which is like crazy. Which is like crazy that you'd have to check yourself on something like that. Oh no, I can't support that. Nurses and teachers,
they're nuts. Anyhow. They're crazy, I will say. But actually, speaking of State of the Union, our former guest, Minnie from Reproductive Freedom for All, was actually Hakeem Jeffries' guest
Oh, she was? Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah. And so I was with her earlier that day filming a fun being relative for, because we're talking about like Republicans attacking birth control and IVF and contraception, but like fun because mm-hmm. she's just the best. And like one of those people are, you know, people are like, don't meet your heroes. And sometimes that really is true. This is like the opposite where I'm like, oh my God, I'm obsessed. Like I want her to be my mom. You know what I mean? Like one of those mm-hmm. people where you're like, obsessed. Anyways,
yeah,
that series of Q&A questions and conversations, it's out on her Instagram, on her Reels, and on TikTok. So definitely go check it out. She really gets into the skinny of what is going on with IVF and the attacks on it, especially because when we recorded our podcast episode with her, that ruling out of Alabama hadn't happened yet.
Yeah.
So it happened like a few weeks later. So we wanted to make sure that we could have some of those follow-up questions, especially one of the ones we kept getting was that trying to frame the connection between IVF and abortion and like the two of us, how are those things connected? So we get into that, go check it out. We also have some action items. I'll put links to them in the description of this podcast. There was something else I was going to say. What was it?
Well, I did want to say something when it comes to State of the Union.
Oh, by all means.
Post State of the Union, you left the watch party and missed Katie Britt, which I was wondering if you got a chance to watch the whole thing, because I know you said you were going to like watching clips, but like there's something really, really powerful about watching the whole thing, full stop.
I didn't watch the whole thing. I admit I was really focused on ordering myself a burrito from probably the last place open in all of DC. And it was a great burrito.
So early there. It's so annoying.
It's crazy. But I didn't watch the whole thing. I did watch in clips. It was in the clips that I did see, most disturbing Hallmark Channel community theater mashup scenario. It's so weird, especially if you like pair it with what her normal voice is, her normal intonation.
Oh my God,
so weird.
Those side-by-sides of her right before, just like, also, you're not going to use the same voice when you're promoting the the thing you're about to do, where you're literally acting like a Handmaid's Tale Hallmark version dupe.
Yeah. It's so weird. And the fact that she was in her kitchen, obviously it was purposeful, but it didn't go over our heads. We all saw it. We all got it. You guys. And it's
crazy.
Funny seeing all the trad wife stuff pop up. And look, we're toasters, but like when they're joking about the trad wife stuff, I'm like, where did this come from? I'm like, we know where this came from. This is very deliberate. The messaging behind that. And like, how are we missing this, guys? Like, how are we?
I know. It's like a weird line because I mean, it's like trad wives like has kind of also been reclaimed by like even the feminist movement, who just says that you can have your choice. You can be a trad wife. It's just about the choice to do so. Like women shouldn't be forced to be in that traditional role. They should have the choice if they want to. Just you should have the choice if you want to like have a bustling career or anything in between. So it's like interesting comparatively with what the GOP is doing to and about women is like. It's scary to have those happening simultaneously. I don't know.
Yeah, totally.
But speaking of like repro stuff and women's stuff and women's bodies, the IVF conversation, we wanted to talk about a little bit. I actually went, so like the first panel I went to at South By was about like just healthcare crisis and post-Roe America. And they had two panelists who were women who, I think they were like plaintiffs in some of the cases that are like fighting back in states. And one of them talked about like her IVF story and how she was like, we have embryos and we had to have like these, this, she was like, this is an actual conversation like my husband and I had. We were talking about if we move our embryos out of Texas, which like we probably want to do because the IVF ban can be coming here. It's like probably likely to, given what Texas has been doing. She was like, is that human trafficking if we were to move our embryos when IVF got banned? Also, can we file these embryos on our tax return? It costs a lot of money to fucking store these embryos. And then, you know, she was like, if, you know, we have these embryos and something happens to them under an IVF ban, is that manslaughter? And it was just so interesting to hear. Sorry. Bless you. Oh.
Damn it. I lost it. Sorry.
Anyways, she was like, yeah, it's just so, these are actual. Oh, why did Siri? Siri just popped up. Like, I can't.
Siri's just that bitch, you know?
I hate her. Anyways, yeah, she basically, these are the conversations and questions we have to ask. It's like really fucking crazy. And they ended up like moving their embryos now to another state to protect them from a potential IVF ban. And it's just fucking nuts. It's absolutely crazy. And it's just such hypocritical bullshit because it's like, are you for babies or are you against babies? Which you got to pick one at this point.
Yeah. And well, I have two additions to that. One is one of the concerns that officials are dealing with is exactly that, the human trafficking element of then moving those embryos. And a lot of the trucking companies do not want the liability of moving the embryos. And so a lot of them are thinking of not being part of those contracts. So that's a huge issue as well, because obviously against the liability of that. Second to that, like you've got what Steve Scalise, who has unfortunately has been battling cancer and he's been getting stem cell treatment, which also falls into this like larger category of things that are
alive.
Yeah, exactly. And the classic thing to me is like the use of religion where they're like, oh, well, like we can't get in the way of God's will. It's well, then fuck your cancer treatment. Oh, you got in a car accident, so we shouldn't correct your broken leg. You could have a laundry list of these scenarios where it's okay. Well, in that case, like if it's God's will, then best wishes. It's giving apocalyptic.
Yeah. And it's also just like, it's not giving government out of our business, Republican Party. Like it's not giving less government. It's giving more. It's giving more government. And that just doesn't seem like your vibe, GOP. I thought it wasn't, but I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy.
I don't think they know who they are anymore. I think their identity crisis, midlife crisis, quarter life crisis, just disaster zone is what I will really put out that. But yeah. Wait, okay. So what other panels do you go to? Also, wait, guys. Hopefully I can say this because Maddie told me this. She texted me. Amelie Zalber told Maddie. It's Zalber?
Fuck. Yeah.
Oh, really?
No, you might be thinking of Zealer. What's her name?
Oh, Ellie Zealer.
Ellie Zealer.
I think I just combined their last names, I think.
You just combined
their last names. It's fine. It's fine. But Amelie complimented Maddie's outfit. And
it was the highlight of my life, for sure.
That's
I was wearing a dress.
I don't believe it. Like, I genuinely, I still can't fathom.
I like take this offense to that.
I'm sorry.
Basically, Samantha just thinks some fucking boring slob that doesn't know what to wear.
That is not true. I just think of you like always in denim.
Okay.
You know, like I think of like
I'm
California.
In denim a lot, but
thank you.
If it's hot outside, I best believe I'm whipping my dress, my little cute dresses out. Anywho.
Anyways, but peak moment. Did you meet Katie Couric by any shot? Because I'm obsessed with her and her panel highlights looked.
No, and I didn't see her panel. But yeah, I started with that post-row one. We went into from there Alana Glazer's panel, who is someone we work with at my job. And she talked about like 2024 state and local governance. And it was really a great panel. It had a city councilwoman from Austin and then a state house member from Texas who were both really, really great. And it was just like an ode to good governance again in a year full of apathy. So it was cool. And I think very, very on message with us, honestly. What else did I do? What did I do that night? Oh, you know what? We met up with Glennis and got some drinks and got some dinner and then got some more drinks on night one. And I was decently hungover the next day.
Dear God.
And
bless your soul.
Yeah. I was like, day one, I should have been smarter because I had four more days ahead of me. Day one out of five. And then, yeah, next day, more panels. I saw Remy Bader. At a panel, she talked about just like creator stuff. It was cool.
I saw her and her boyfriend broke up.
And I know.
Saga, which sad.
She was like fresh. She's like fresh off a breakup at that panel. I was like, good for you, girl. You're getting out there.
Literally.
Doing your thing. Yeah. I mean, I just bopped around. I forget what else I went to that day. It's just like all a blur. And then, oh, I went to, I saw Selena Gomez at a panel. She talked about mental health stuff. She, I know her fans are really loyal. And when I say this, I say it with love. She does not seem all there. Like something has happened to her brain, like the way she speaks. She also, each person, there was like a couple people on the panel. Each person talked for like a couple minutes when they were asked their questions. And they were like good, thorough answers. And she literally talked for 20 seconds each time. And she is like really monotone. She like doesn't open her mouth. And she, it's just like the craziest thing to hear her talk. I was like, oh, I don't know. I hope she's good. But I know she's been through a lot. So I'm like, I don't know. Something seemed off.
Interesting. I'm curious if it was like one of those scenarios where she just was having an off day. Or maybe she was hungover or something like that. Or, you know, the character she plays on that show with Steve Martin, it's like a Hulu show. It's a Murders in the Building show. Yes. I've only seen season one, I think. I really liked it. But she's almost has a monotone type of persona.
It seems like a recent thing in her life within the last couple years that she's started to kind of like talk like this. I don't know.
Weird. I don't know. I don't know enough about her. I just remember like when her documentary came out and it was not necessarily well received and whatever the feedback, whatever was talked about on Giggly, I was like, yeah, that is kind of odd.
Mm-hmm.
Just odd.
I also saw a really cool one about women in sports and just like the sports, women's sports industry. And it was really exciting. They were talking about like how all the numbers right now, like women's sports is actually like kind of not dominating, but like beating men's sports in a lot of ways when it comes to like viewership and game attendance and ticket sales and all of these things. And I was like, fuck yes.
No, literally, it's funny that you say that because I was having a conversation last week. It was whenever it was that Caitlin Clark had like her big record where she like that dude she beat. I'm great at sports talk, clearly, but you know what I'm saying? Whatever. And I got like a Washington Post notification about it. And my immediate reaction was like, this is kind of fucking sick. Like the Washington Post is actually sending a notification about a woman's college basketball star beating a record, making like a PR. Like that to me 5 years ago, that wouldn't have happened. No way, no how.
So cool.
Because I don't know if you guys did this in high school, but in one of our math classes, like we always did like March Madness stuff. And it was always the men's teams. And you know what I feel like it's kind of helped it too? Is TikTok.
Yeah,
I
totally
really feel like between the clips, I love going to a basketball game. We know I'm like not the person to put on a game or whatever, but like when I see the ESPN women's TikTok pop up, I will watch the clip and I will get amped. I'll give the views and then that pushes it. Yeah. And then other people see it and buy tickets for their daughters and whatever. And there's something really cool about that. And like the Nebraska volleyball game, like this last season, where they sold out the entire Nebraska football stadium for women's volleyball. That's sick.
I know. And they talked about that too, of the culture around women's sports is like shifting in such a positive way. Whereas before, like the sports commentary, like first of all, wasn't even there. And if it was, it was all about like women's sports, it's like doing this and this, instead of just like talking about it as a sport, talking about kind of like the shit talking and all the fun stuff that comes with sports culture. That's starting to happen and it's just gaining buzz. And that piece is so important. It was really interesting. And it made me hopeful. I was like, as a former athlete myself, I never saw myself doing it for a career because it just wasn't really an option. And if it was, like, there was a slight option, but it's you got paid shit and like, it's just a grind to do that and literally get paid like below minimum wage. I was like, just not, I didn't even think about it as a possibility for my career. And it's
totally.
Like, when I have kids and hopefully I'll have a girl or two, you know, I can have her actually think about sports being like professional sports being a real career. That's exciting.
That is really exciting. And that is a huge, huge shift. And we need more of it. And basically, this is your sign. Anytime you see a woman's sports video, like it, save it, share it, boost it, all of the things, because that is definitely, to me, I think that's helping so much because it's also showing, it's role model situation.
Yeah.
You know, it's showing like what's possible. And again, I'm not like a ESPN notification subscriber. I'm still getting in mainstream media. I'm getting notifications on my phone about women's sports. And that's fucking sick.
Yeah.
So, and especially the team sports, because look, I tennis girly through and through. And that's probably like the one sport where some of the
women's tennis has been definitely like a beacon of.
Yeah. I mean, hope. Coco, obsessed with her. It's fine.
Yeah.
Oh, that just makes me dream of the US Open. I love the US Open so much. Yeah. Guys. Well,
South by Southwest is nuts. It's just crazy the amount of things happening. Like, it's very overwhelming, but it's like kind of cool. Like, you just always have something to do. And yeah, so we like got there Friday, and then Saturday, Sunday, it was all just like South by panel stuff. We just got passes. And then the event, like, we helped sponsor with Working Families Party, started Monday. Tuesday was like a politics house, and it was like a lot of culture stuff, cool like panels. There was like a repro panel and a drag, the drag queen night, which was so fucking fun. It was amazing. Met Amelie Zilber, met Sly. Maya Allen from Summer House, which was so cool. Obsessed. She was also literally stunning. Amelie Zilber too. I'm like, unbelievable. I can't even look at you. Stunning. And they were both really sweet. And yeah, it was cool. It was fun.
Did you get any Bravo tea?
I didn't. But she was hanging with some guy. He's like a chef creator kind of. And I overheard her like talking to him and was like joking with him about how they had just met. So I was like, maybe she has a little like South by fling happening. I don't know. But
oh my God.
Yeah, it was cool. It was cool.
That is so cool. I feel like you just met so many good humans.
I did. It was great.
That sounds so fun though. I feel like another Texas trip is on a radar at some point. I've never been.
Yeah.
I'm so curious. And again, look, if I don't see sunshine soon, we're in trouble. So
the first day was really warm. It was like, and then at nighttime, it got freezing and I was wearing a short dress that day. And it was great during the day. And then I literally froze my nuts off that night. It was
insane. You know what the title of this podcast episode is going to be? Maddie wears dresses.
So, anywho, that was our recap. Jesus Christ. That was longer than I expected.
See, but I told you. Maddie was like, we don't have enough.
No, I knew we would have enough. I knew we would have too much, actually. That was my concern. Hopefully this was entertaining for people, but getting into our little teaser for our new format, I feel like it's time. Where do we start with this? Now, Sam and I kind of had a coming to Jesus moment when we were thinking about guests. Yeah. We were contemplating who we should have on as our next guest, booking things, admin, all of those things. And we were like, literally who do we want on? Because we feel like we haven't obviously had everyone in the political space on. But when it comes to like issues, I feel like we've talked about the bulk of it, and a lot of stuff I'm sure we can go back and re-talk about that we haven't talked about in a year or two or whatever. But it came to a point where this year calls for something different. This election year, just this political year, we are feeling, I think, I've heard word of mouth and anecdotally from a lot of people I talk to about politics right now, about just like how over it they feel, the burnout, the just kind of lack of excitement during what should be the most exciting time politically, which is the presidential election. So we were like, okay, how can we address that? How can we solve that? How can we maybe make this year and the political content people consume like more exciting and something that they actually want to consume? Because again, it's like kind of information overload as well out there right now, digitally and through social media and podcasts and all the things. So with all that said, we are pivoting to having guests on the show who are candidates or electeds, politicians, really, and we're going to humanize them a little bit, and we're going to bring in some questions, still ask a few policy questions here and there, get the tea on what's going on politically in their world, but also bring in some personality questions, some pop culture questions, and some things that really just show that politicians, like, they aren't all bad. They're just like us, just like the People magazine segment. And that's really the vibe. Because we're trying to boost the vibes for this election right now because the vibes are low.
The vibes are so low. They're like literally in the basement. And I got it. Like we feel it too. And so like Maddie said, we want to turn the bus around. We want to get the energy up. We want to humanize people. And if you guys remember, sometime, I guess, mid this podcast existing, we had a series called The Fast Five. And we used to do it with guests. And it was like five questions, kind of like speed round. But this isn't going to be speed, though. It's going to be like a conversation style. But it's fun questions, mixture of policy and politics and pop culture and persona, all of those wrapped into one to really help you get to know who these people are and like what they're about as humans.
Yeah.
I think one of the classic things from back in the day, like back in the George Bush days, like why he, you know, won his elections, one of the big commentary pieces was like, well, I'd like to get a beer with the guy.
And same with the Trump, which I don't personally yet.
I could not. I don't even want to be. Not only do I not want to be in the same room as him, I don't even seem building. I want to be in the same zip code. Okay.
But I would take a shot to not hang out with him. They're like, you have to take the shot. I don't take shots. They're like, you have to take the shot and you don't have to hang out with him. And be like, oh my God, please give me five of them.
You know, I'll double down on that. I'll take shots of SoCo Lime. Okay.
That's maybe the absinthe. Death. I'll do anything.
Oh, I actually kiss like absinthe. Death.
I don't think I've tried it.
I think it's kind of licorice-y.
Or moonshine. Rest in peace.
Literally. So point being is that if that's how certain people feel, let's change the course. Let's redirect and show you some people that you actually might relate to or have some similarities with that are running and understand like where they are coming from as, again, as humans, as people, all of the things. So it's going to be fun. If you guys have some questions that you're dying to have an elected official answer, whether, again, it's like pop culture, personality, awesome policy, let us know. Drop them in the email, drop them in the comments, all those things. And we will take it into consideration.
Yeah, we're starting a question bank that's just going to like go and go and go. And we're going to pick and choose like which questions for which person. But yeah, I mean, it's just you've heard also from polling and then from like focus groups and all these things, like people literally think also like politicians, they're all bad. Like people have lost hope in like government and the people who are in it. And that's especially like with our experience, like being in the space and talking to all these people, like with our normal shows, like there are really amazing people in the space. And it's like, you just need to show that to more people. So hopefully that will do that.
For sure. Because there really are. We want to obviously also highlight the good and the positive and the things that will inspire you to elect more awesome people that are actually fighting for your values. And you get to decide. You might not like every person we bring on the show. That's fine. You don't have to. I don't like every person on this earth either. So.
Yep.
So he's like, there she's it is, got a laundry list.
Also, it's just there's this stereotype about people who are in the political space at all. That it's like their entire personality and that's just like who they are. And that's just not the case. You know, like people who work in politics are human too. People who work in the government and are elected officials are humans too. And they have interests outside of their careers. And I just think that's an important picture to paint so that people can relate more and also just like destigmatize and take the taboo out of the political space because it's supposed to be just a representative body full of people just like us. And that's what we're trying to prove. So
honestly, that was one of the things that was interesting at the White House event was just you're seeing people that are like working behind the scenes. You're like, oh my gosh, there's people operating all these mechanisms, having their ideas, making them happen, having conversations, like humans, literal humans.
So love humans.
We love humans.
Justice for humans.
Definitely not AI or robot.
But this will be launching pretty soon in the springtime when all the new things spring up.
But
there it is.
We will have a few, just so you guys know, if you're listening to this now or later, whatever, is we do have a few awesome episodes with a few other guests that are not elected officials that are coming through the gate. So again, you'll see
OG this, like, format.
OG format for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then mid-spring, you'll start to see this. I don't want to give a date.
Admin is hard, guys.
Admin is so hard.
We don't know. it'll happen in the spring.
The worst part is
the next 2 months, probably.
If I never see a calendar invite again, I
just, we just need assistance.
Desperately.
Well, that's all. We've talked way too much. I need to go outside and touch grass because I have not been outside of my apartment today. And we'll be talking to you all next week in our OG format with an amazing guest. So stay tuned and talk to you soon.
Toodles.
Toodles.
Hey guys, popping in with a reminder to sign up for the GovHub newsletter. This weekly pop of politics is designed to share action items, resources, and quick links to civic engagement tools and topics directly to your inbox. Save it, share it, and sign up for a pinch of productive politics today by going to girlonthegov.com or visiting this episode's description.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.